Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Daled. Woohoo! Really getting up there, man. And we're holding, we're really holding the right place, but let's start from the Mishnah again, from the new Perek, just to remember what's happening. So we had sort of a transitional Mishnah at the end of the previous Perek, where we talked about the types of things that a netter cannot be chalon, and that a shvua can be chalon. So we were talking about the difference between ossering your mouth as a kli for speech as opposed to ossering speaking to someone, or your feet for walking as opposed to walking. So it was like a transition into something that could have two possible ways of understanding it. You're trying to osser the actual act. Well, that doesn't work with a netter. That only works with a shvua. Or you're trying to focus on part of your body, which is an object, and that you can usher as not the act, but you can usher utilizing that body part for whatever you want to do with it. So if you have feet, you want to walk with them, you can usher the feet in walking. This Mishnah continues on now completely into the idea of hatpasa on things that are not really valid for hatpasa. Now remember our original machlokas we had back at the beginning, according to which the Ran understands Hatpasa as being an additional way of making a netter. The Rosh understands, along with many other Rishonim, and there are many who agree with the Ran as well, that the idea of Hatpasa is the nature of netter. It's not that you can make a netter without Hatpasa. But the logic behind all of this is that if you're going to try to create Isser, obviously, you can't create. How could you create Isser? So if in your own mind something is Usser, therefore it would become Usser, just all on its own. Why would that be? So the way that the Rosh understood the whole sugya, and I must say I am personally very, very prejudiced towards the Rosh, is that the idea actually is based around the fact that the Torah has created various things that have dinim that are only created by the fact that I decided that that's the way I am going to see things, and I use language in order to create them. And those, of course, are called Nidrei Hegdesh. And because there's such a thing as Nidrei Hegdesh, so therefore, if I want to answer something based on the idea that it is possible to enter into a state of Isser, if such a state is allowed by the Torah, so then I can even make such a state where it wasn't necessarily meant to be created or a mitzvah to be created, and even if it was a chait to be created, in the sense that I can osser the sukkah on myself. But I can't simply say this is osser. It's not that I can't. I can. But it is only going to work as a yad to something that is like possible for atfasa, like a carbon, for instance. So all of those states of hegdesh, those are issues of hatpasa. And so if that's the case, then we're going to have a very different way of understanding the Mishnahs, I think I'll show you, which is part of the reason I'm very prejudiced, because I believe that that's the whole point of the Mishnah, but we'll talk about it in a moment. So anyway, those are the two approaches, and because of that, as we're going to see, that we've been taking for granted all along, you cannot be matpis in a dover ha'asur. So what that means is if you say this should be like chazer, I mean, that's a joke. What do you mean it should be like chazer? If you're writing your own Torah, how can something be like chazer? So therefore, you cannot be matvis in a dover that is usser. The way that the Ran is understanding it, and those Rishonim who learn that the idea of a netter is that you could simply usser something, that's not so simple, is it? I mean, if you can usher something, so what's the difference if you say it should be usher like it's chazer? I mean, what is that supposed to mean? You really believe it's chazer? Of course not. So all you're saying is usher. So what's so bad about that? So they have to understand the sugya that the pasuk is specifically telling you that that doesn't work. And there's no particular logic in it. Now, the only type of isser that I allow you to enter into is something that is achievable through a netter, because you're making the netter, and or through a netter because the Torah accepted that kind of netter. That's how they look at it. And you're going to see that that theoretical difference is a big difference. Now let's take a look at the Mishnah, and we'll see that we're going to end up reading it in two different ways, depending on whether you're... I mean, I must tell you, I haven't seen anybody else saying this. And I don't find it in any of the Rishonim, but I think it is so clear that it is really a beautiful thing to see. So I'm going to present it my way, I mean, but I'm just warning you, I don't have a heksher. Okay. So anyway, so the Mishnah is like this. Ve'elu mutarim. So the following type of nedarim don't mean anything, and they are mutar. Chulin sh'ochalach. That is weird. Chulin sh'ochalach. That's pretty obvious according to anybody, isn't it? Chulin sh'ochalach. So, okay, the Gemara is going to say, what in the world do I need to know chulin sh'ochalach? I mean, if it said chulin sh'ochalach, you could say maybe it's coming to tell me a din about a double negative or something. But this doesn't make any sense. Chulin sh'ochalach. Okay, but now we get into the meat of the issue, or maybe the bacon, which is kibsar chazir. So if you say, this should be the same as kibsar chazir, or kavadis kechavim, or korot levuvim, which are tikrovet avadazara, or kenevelot, or kitrefot, or kishkatzim, or kirimashim, or kechamasim, or kechalat aaron, or kitrumato. And we talked about that, is that as opposed to the trumas halishkars, as opposed to trumas lachme teda. Fine. Or with this discussion in previous parak, when we talked about this Mishnah, all of these cases are mut. How about a case where somebody tells his wife, Hare ata laiki ima? So then, potchin lo petach mimakom acher, shelo yekel rosho lekach. So if he's answering his wife as if she's mommy, so there were two approaches that we had here. One is that potchin lo petach mimakom acher, meaning we don't just tell, this is the simplest approach, we don't just tell him, please, shtuyot, but rather we make a big deal out of it. Oh, well, we're going to have to figure out how to be mat to this for you. That's the simplest meaning. Many of the Rishonim learn, mimakom acher means, when we're going to make a petach, we don't use the very words that he said to be the petach. We don't say, do you not understand that in saying this, you are violating the honor of your mother or something like that, which is ipso facto. And that's all that mimakom acher means from some other sugya. Both are true, lemaisa. Anyway, says the Gemara. So now, what is this chul in jazz? I mean, it doesn't mean anything unless the whole point of it is that it's coming to tell you an inference. Because, I mean, to say I need a chiddush in a Mishnah to tell you chulin is silly. So what would be the inference? The inference would seem to be that the only reason that over here it's not considered to be a neder is because you didn't use anything but the word chulin, right? But suppose you would have said la chulin sh'ochalach. So then la chulin sh'ochalach. Now that would have been already something very different, because then I would have stood it to mean it's not chulin, and it is korban, right? Ah, so that would mean because it's a negative. So we use the negative to learn out the positive, okay? I guess that's what the point is. I mean, otherwise, what could it possibly be saying? So that would mean ha'omar la chulin sh'ochalach would be mashma lo chulin ela korban. Okay, so now tell me, according to whom does this Mishnah work? I mean, we know already that Rabbi Meir does not like the idea of Michlal Lav Atashomea Hein. Now remember, even though we said before that there are times when it looks like Rabbi Meir is saying Michlal Lav Atashomea Hein, we ended up saying that earlier we said Lo Chulin Yiyeh Ela Karban is true even according to Rabbi Meir. And that, remember this, remember what he's saying is Lo chulin ma shochalach. And therefore, if it's not chulin, therefore lo chalach. That's how we understood it, right? Shelo chalach. It was not a double negative. Is that true about la chulin as well? So let me ask you something. The idea, this is another one of the subtle diukim in the sugya over here about the nature of negatives in language. If I tell you something, hey, that's not kosher, are you going to say, well, that doesn't mean it's treif, it just means it's not kosher? I said, what, are you crazy? I just said it's not kosher. I mean, you're not allowed to eat it. What do you think not kosher means? I mean, I have to spell it out. You know, no, it's dafke chazer, it's not kosher. So nobody's going to say that saying the word not kosher means it's really kosher because we can't be mitayik not kosher. So that's all that the Gemara was saying before. It was saying that a libet Rabbi Meir, lo chulin means that it is out of the realm of any heter. It's going to be some kind of Isser Korban, right? That's what it means. It's not that I'm using a word in a different way. When Rabbi Meir says the idea that a word cannot mean its opposite, he's talking about pentagonese. So in other words, if you're saying a word like a kosher, what? It's a kosher. No, that's sort of like amoral. What are you talking about, man? Okay. So there Rabbi Meir says, that kind of mashma'ut within the word, la chulin. I don't know what that means. I mean, maybe the guy's just talking about it should go to chulin. I mean, that I don't agree with. So if the diak over here is that if he says chulin, only that's good enough. But if he says la chulin, it's not good enough. That would be fine. We're talking over here that the chulin means it's not an eder, but la chulin, it is an eder, can't be going with Rabbi Meir. I mean, because certainly it's not coming to repeat the thing that if you say lo chulin. I mean, it's saying if you just said chulin, that's nothing. But you could jazz it up by saying la chulin, which means it's not going like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that a word means its opposite. That's the idea here. Okay, when you see it that way, it makes a heck of a lot of sense. There's nothing esoteric about any of this. Fine. So then, if that's the case, it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda. So who's it going like? Rabbi Meir can't be, because Rabbi Meir, leslei michlal avat ha-shamayin. Isn't that the whole point? Rabbi Meir does not agree that we make that kind of diak. So it can't be Rabbi Meir. Okay, so it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda said this exact word before on Daf Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, Daf Yud, and we got into it on Yud Aleph. And it says over there, Lachulin Sha'ochalach. And that was Rabbi Yehuda. So why would we be repeating it if it's going Alibi Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, if it's going Alibi Rabbi Meir, okay, so then you'd be telling me something, but it's not true Alibi Rabbi Meir. So then Hainu Reisha. Well, you see, Aide Diktani, Kipsar Chazir, Kavodat Kochavim, so it also throws in Chulin. What kind of ridiculous answer is that? That makes no sense. I'm talking about an idea, to be matfis in a Dover HaAser, so I'll throw in Chulin. Throw in Chulin. What in the world are you throwing in Chulin for? You might as well throw in a red sports car for it. I mean, once you're into it, or maybe a Tesla. I don't understand. It's totally irrelevant. So, Ella, what do you think the pshat is? I'll tell you what I believe the pshat is. The pshat is marvelous, but it only works out according to the Rush, and that would be the whole point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, look, you got two choices in life, buddy. I don't care how you jazz it up. Your two choices in life is you're going to be talking about chulin or you're talking about hegdash. Once you're talking about chulin, I don't give a hang whether it's chazer, avet, zora. I don't care what it is, shkutz, it ramas. Don't bother your little mind about what it is because it's irrelevant. Just tell me, is it chulin? Then it's nothing. Why? Because there's no such thing as a neder that can be made based on something that's chulin. You cannot create isurim out of chulin. That's the bottom line. Where did the Torah give you any possibility of creating isurim? In the parsha of Hegdash, of Nidre Hegdash, which is the whole reason that we found that we put these two sugyas that are totally unrelated together, because they are totally the same. They're not totally unrelated. That's the whole point. That's a beautiful understanding of the Mishnah. It's such a tremendous samchas to what the Rushes are saying. I mean, otherwise you're just saying, well, what the heck, throw it in. That's silly. Okay, so then we have like a whole kalal over here, and it makes things so clear. Look, just tell me, are we talking about a korban? No, what are you talking about? We're talking about an Isser very chomer. I don't care what it is, you understand? Couldn't care less. Okay. Ravina says, no, actually there's a way to understand it. What it's trying to say is, now I would even go so far as to suggest that the machlokas between the Gemara's first take and Ravina's take is this question. And that Ravina didn't hold that we could understand it this way because he was knighted to the approach of the Ran. In which case, throwing in chulin is totally irrelevant. So he's got to give you an explanation. Why would you throw in chulin? I'll tell you why. Because I want it to be clear that in the same way that no one in his right mind would think for a moment that if a guy says, your food should be chulin to me, Nobody's going to think that he has to go to a chacham to get a heter for that neder. It's insane, right? So that's what it's trying to tell me, that this lashon of kechulin, just like there's no chashash, you don't have to think about it. The same thing is true over here. There's no din of being machmir at all. Now, the question is that true or not, which we're going to see in a minute, because this could be a serious issue. Let's take a look inside. Ravina Amar Hochikatani. The Elu Mutarim Kechulin. Kibosu Chazir, Avedis Kechulin, etc. Because if it wouldn't have said Chulin, I might have thought that what? Boy Sheela. Well, you're right, it's not really a neder, but we ought to treat it like a neder to teach people to be careful about how they say things, right? That's what Ravina is understanding. Says the Gemara, but Ravina, nobody could have thought that. It's impossible. Why? Because Ilo Tanachulun, what? You would have said, Boy She'ela, Mi'ika Lasuki Al Daita Ochi. Could anyone have ever thought that for a minute? Doesn't the last part of the Mishnah say, Ha'omer Le'ishto, Hareyat Alai Ki'ima, Potchin Lo Petach Mimakom Acher. Now that's mashma, that is the only case that we are worried about making a person feel sensitive to the way he's speaking. And the way we understood it is because people are always getting into fights with their wives and saying stupid things. You remind me of your mother. So you're like my mother. I don't know, whatever. So stupid things. So because of that, we wanted to be makpid that people wouldn't. Things haven't changed. So we want people to remember to use their brains and to be careful about how they speak. So even though it's not really an editor, we pretend it's an editor. But that is a unique case. That's only that closing case. So why do I need Ravina's diak about chulin to tell me, don't worry about it, if the Mishnah itself says, don't worry about it? So therefore, Ravina doesn't make any sense. That all those opening cases, shkotzim, remotzim, avedazara, oris, levuvim, whatever, lo bay sheila. Therefore, machvarta, I think we should go back to the way we understood it before, that chulin is not there for a diak. It's not there to teach you anything. It's simply being brought in as the introductory phrase. Memelanazba, we bring it along together with examples of chulin, because they're all basically examples of chulin. Now, gentlemen, there's a big problem with those words, because the Rambam paskins that all of the cases in the Mishnah, if you are an Amo Oretz, then we will be poteach petach for you to teach you to speak carefully. Not only the cases of a wife. And we're going to see later on that there's a difference between a Talmud Chacham and Amo Oretz. So a guy who doesn't really know the difference between what things are a neder and what things are not, we can't let him just, don't worry about it. So the next time when he does use a Dover HaNoder, he's going to say, they told me not to worry about it. I mean, so therefore we have to be machmer on any circuit. Now, how the heck does the Rambam understand that Gemara? The Gemara says we would have known from the fact that the only case that we have to worry about is the final case where Repotchen lo petach mimakom acher, but that means none of the other cases. So that cannot be true, according to the Rambam. It's absolutely nutty. So, behechrech, I don't know that there's another reasonable approach, behechrech, the Rambam did not have the word dereisha lo boisha ila. He was not being medayik the difference between the reisha and the seifa, because according to him, there is no difference between the reisha and the seifa. The point, according to the Rambam, is that the Gemara was saying is that the very words potchen lo petach mimakom acher means what to you? Means it doesn't need she'ela. That's the point. It means we go to him and we try to get him to work on it and to think about it. Hey, you know, that's not a good idea. Let's see whether would you really have meant it if you would have. I didn't ask for nothing. Leave me alone. No, this is a big problem. That's how he understands potchen lo petach, but it's not that it's boy she'ela. Why do you tell a guy this requires she'ela to a chacham? We're just going to do it for him, right? Potchen lo petach mimakom acher. That's the point. All of those cases are true. If he's an Amo Aretz, we're going to pretend that we're potchen lo petach, but it's not that it requires she'ela. That's what the idea of the mokom acher is. Let's make something out of it. That's the point. Let's make something out of it. I can't treat it as if it's a real neder and need sheila, but let's make something out of it and require a petach, right? So if that's the case, there's no problem here to the way the Rambam understands it. We're simply bringing a raya that if the Mishnah says you have to be potchim or petach mimokom acher, so then there's no way to think that you really need sheila. Because if you would say you would need sheila for a Talmud Chacham also. That's the point. So we do the little game for the Am Haaretz and not for the Talmud Chacham. But certainly, Ravina, how's anybody going to think you need sheila? That's silly. And if it wouldn't have said chulin, I would have thought you need a sheila. Do you see it makes perfectly good sense according to the Rambam? Perfect, right? Beautiful. I think it makes even better sense. Fine. Who knows if that, because of this Gemara, that's goofa was the, not the basis at all way that the Rambam sees it. All right. So now, ask the Gemara, minahan emili. So how do we know that you can only be noder midover hanadur? Maybe you could ask or something. Well, it says, ish ki yidar neder la'ashem. Ki yidar neder means, so again, it depends how you read the pasuk. If you understand like the Ram that you can make a neder out of nowhere and pick a rabbit out of your hat and you can say, this rabbit is asra on me. So then we have to be medayik, the pasuk. So what does yidar neder mean? It must be that what it is that you're noder, if you decided you wanted to be matfisit on something else, so then it would have to be a dover hanodur. Pretty shvach pasuk, right? The simplest way of understanding it is ish ki yidar neder lashem means that since what you're doing is you're only making a neder, so then obviously it has to be, if you're going to be matvisit, it has to be a neder, not an iser. That's all. It's not that I need a pasuk to tell me not to do it this way. It's that this is the only thing to do. Which is a very different way of looking at it. But wait a minute. Doesn't it also say, le'esor isar al nafsho? And doesn't that mean you can create an iser out of nowhere? Well, what are you going to do with that? So then the same language that says yidor neder, the same pasuk continues, le'esor isar. So don't try to tell me that neder and iser are two different things and you can only make a neder, but you can't make an iser. I read the pasuk. Wow. Now you know the answer. How do you know the answer? Because we talked about before in the previous perek, we talked about Ezehu Iser Ha'omor Batera. Remember we said that? What does the Torah mean when it says Lasar Isar? What is an example of that Iser? And what did we end up saying? A guy who says, I want to Aser the first Sunday in Nisan. Because that was the day that his father had died and that 5 years ago he had made a neder that he's going to keep a tainus, right? That's the iser we're talking about, the type of iser that's a neder. Why do we call it lesor iser? Because there's a big difference, you see. If we were limited to the idea of neder the way the Torah has created a neder, so then how, if I have some idiosyncratic neder in which I have made the particular thing that was important to me because something very significant happened on this day and therefore I acted a particular way, how can I use that as the universal fundamental hatpasa? I thought that the whole idea was that the Torah opened up the door to inyanim of korbanos. How is this shayach to korbanos? This is what just something that I had done and now you're saying I can use that? How can I use that? It doesn't make any sense. Comes along the Torah to say that once there is a parsha of Nedarim, then even an idiosyncratic neder is suitable for hatpasa, because originally the neder comes with the understanding of the iser that was explained in the Torah. So even though I can't really call it a neder in the universal sense, it was a personal iser. But since it's mevusas on the union of neder, you can even be matfis another neder to that. So therefore, if you want to make another day similar to that day, and it should be a fast day, fine. So it'll be a fast day too. That's a big chiddush. Because especially if you were understanding that the entire nature of Nedarim is because of the interrelationship of Nidrei Hekdesh, so how could I use a personal neder? That's not Nidrei Hekdesh. It doesn't matter, because in the end, it all comes down to the yisod of Nidrei Hekdesh. That would be a chiddush. So that would be what we said before, namely the idea of Le'esor Isor. That is coming to tell me, Le'esor Isor mi boi le'kita Tanya. That was the brayta we had in the previous parak. Ezehu Isor ha'amur ba'Torah. Somebody comes along and he says that I want to be this day like the day of the first of Nisan, or like the day of Tzom Gedalia. All those cases that we had over there, that those are considered to be, those were the Chiddushim, either they're idiosyncratic Nidorim, or if it's Tzom Gedalia, well, you would have been usher to eat anyway, even if it weren't your own acceptance of Tzom Gedalia, that doesn't matter, but since you accept it as a Tanya, so it's also in there, and so whatever the Chiddushim were. But all of that is included under Le'esor Isor. Now let's get to this last point. Homer li ishto, hare atalai ke'ima. Now, the question is like this. V'ramini, hare atalai kibisar ima, kibisar achoti, or ke'orla, or ke'loya kerem. It's a joke. Lo omar klum. Wait a minute. What do you mean, lo omar klum? Yeah, why don't you have something good? So what's the lo omar klum? I thought we made a big deal out of it in our Mishnah, and you're saying lo amar klum? Amar Abaye, what that means is it's not real. Lo amar klum midiraisa. It has no implications min ha-Tera, but sarach she'ela min ha-Rabbanan. So according to Abaye, there's a general, the Rabbanan were makbid, to make a chiyuv of she'ela. Rava says no. It depends. The din of a year is different for Talmud Chacham and Amar Haaretz. And I'll prove to you. I know it sounds funny that we should make different dinim for Talmid Chachamim and Amei Haaretz, but I'll show you that that's actually very much assumed in this braita of Tanya. Somebody makes a neder batorah, lo amar klum. Okay, so here's what you do with the goyim. I swear by the holy book. You can't swear by a holy book. That's ridiculous. So the one thing you can't swear on is a Sefer Torah. We're going to see what the Indian is holding a Sefer Torah, we'll talk about. But the idea that you swear by a holy book, so somebody goes ahead and he swears by the holy book. That's a joke. Lo amar klum. The Omer of Nachman, but you need Sheila l'chacham. It's Omer of Yochanan Tzarek, Tzarek Sheila l'chacham. Which Reb Nachman explains, how do you put the two together? Lo amar klum, it means that a Talmud Chacham does not need she'ela. That's the pshat lo amar klum. However, if the person is an Am Haaretz, so then tzarich she'ela lechacham. But it's not a general takana that on all of these nedarim that we're going to say that everybody needs she'ela. Absolutely not. Okay, now we see from this, before we get into the details, so what's the gross thing that we're proving? That it's possible to use this language of Tzarek She'ela and mean it specifically and only for an Am Haaretz, and a Talmud Chacham wouldn't, and that would be the way that I understand the Mishnah as well. It's the same thing. Indeed, Omer Avreata Laki Ima Lo Amar Klum, but if it's an Am Haaretz, then we're worried about it. Now, the issue, however, here is, fascinatingly, what do you even mean when you say Hanoder Batorah? Now, the Ran and most of the Rishonim understand this to mean Hanoder Batorah, as we're going to see very often in this Masechet, we put together Dinim of Shvuas and Nedarim, and we use the language loosely, unless we're coming to contrast them. So actually, Hanoder Batorah means Nishba Batorah, because otherwise, what would it mean? How could it be Noder Batorah? So what it would mean is that I swear, since I swear in the name of the Lord. So if I say, I swear in the Torah, which is full of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that would be using the Shem Hashem. But over here he says he's Noder B'Torah, and we take that to mean by the Holy Book, with literally the Holy Book. In other words, like, you know, I mean, the pieces of the Sefer Torah, I say everybody's standing up for, kissing the Gvilim, I mean, what is so? That is what? Nothing. You can't make a Shvuah like that. Okay, but we're certainly not talking about a neder. I mean, how could you make a neder? Now, what's interesting is that the Ravid actually understands the sugya to be talking about a neder. He says, how can you possibly make a neder? He says, the most amazing thing, that every shame that is written in the Sefer Torah that has Kedusha is a neder. Right? Yes, because he says the fact that when you write the shame, so you have kavana that it should be the Shem Hashem with Kedusha, that Kedusha is coming from you and your consciousness, which means it's a neder. Because if you wrote it without that kavana, it wouldn't have Kedusha. So basically, the Shemais, the Kedusha of the Shemais is like a carbon that you made. Interesting. So he bases this on the Yerushalmi. So he understands this to be a sugya benogea neder, and not shvua. All right. I mean, there are, the Rambam brings both, actually, that they're both true, because here it's mashba, in the Bavli it's mashba, we're talking about a shvua, and in the Yerushalmi it's mashba, and a neder over here, we don't even explain how could it be a neder. So he understands, but Pashtas Arsuge is indeed talking about that it's a neder. So let's see the different actual contexts for this thing. Because if the person would say that I am being nishba by the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, obviously, then that is using the Shem Hashem. So when do we assume that he means by the Holy Book? And when do I assume that he means by the Shemais HaKadosh that are written in the Holy Book? So, Tanya, so it's actually, the Braita makes the distinctions in the context. Somebody is neider batera, meaning he's nishba batera. That's a meaningless thing. So he's got to say for Torah, he says, by this Torah, I will not eat this food. Okay, doesn't mean a thing. What if he says, by what is written in the Torah, b'mashe katuvba? Then he means, of course, the Shemot. What if he says, by the Torah and what is written in it? That's also good. Well, obviously, that's also good. If you said, I don't understand. If you said just the words by whatever is written in the Torah that you're referring to the Shemais, so if you separately address by the Holy Book and what is written in the Holy Book, I mean, then obviously you're making two separate references, and one of them is by the Shemais HaKadosh. Of course that's good. So first you say, b'mashikatuba dvarav kayomi, now you have to tell me, b'mashikatuba tzarech l'beimram, it's a waste of time. What are you adding? You're not going to make it worse by making it more clear that you're referring to the Shemas, are you? Omer of Nachman, Lokasha. There's two different cases. The Braita is being meramis to you on contextual sensitivity over here. The case that we have over here, Bo, B'masha Katuvba, that's talking about where the Sefer Torah is sitting there in front of you, even though it uses the word on the ground, obviously it doesn't mean literally on the ground. It's sitting in front of you on the Bima, let's say, and over there, you would have one halacha, and the other one, which is the middle case where you said b'mashe katuvba, that's talking about you're holding it in your hand, and that's the difference. If the Sefer Torah is in front of you on the table, so then when you said b'mashe katuvba, I mean, that sounds like it could only mean mashe katuvba the shemot, right? But that's not true. Because let me tell you how you could read that. You could read that to mean the Torah and what it is written in. B'mashe katuvba. That object that contains the Torah, which is the Holy Book, which contains the Torah. So if you're saying b'mashe katuvba, so then when you're looking at that sefer in front of you and you're saying by what is written, it is written in, you seem to be saying, you want to swear by the Holy Book. And that doesn't mean anything, swearing by the Holy Book. Masha Enkin, the last case, is telling me that if he's holding it, nakat lo biyade, so then he's essentially saying separately, ba uba masha katuvba. And therefore, you can just say, ba, with the Torah. And that means masha katuvba, because in this case, it's clear that he's talking about Mashe Katuv in this book, in this scroll that I'm holding in my hand. That's one possibility. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I could learn it otherwise. I could learn it vibosim. I could say, I don't like the idea of switching cases in the middle, which is the way Reb Nachman understood it. So let me say it a different way. Maybe you could say all three cases. Are you talking about where the Sefer Torah is on the bima in front of you? So what it's telling you is that even though it's on the Bima, when you say B'masha Katuvba, that itself would be sufficient. And it's obviously Zuv Ein Tzorach Zolomar Zu, and it's not needed. I'm just trying to point out to you. But in the same way that if you said Bo B'masha Katuvba, nobody would think that you mean that B'masha Katuvba, the object within which the Torah is written, nobody would think that. So that's true, even if you just say Ba. Okay, that's possible. Or you could say that actually both last cases, there was the first case where it doesn't mean anything. That's true. But the last two cases, including the middle case, Kula, Mitziatanami, meaning, is talking about that you're holding it in your hand. So the Mitziatas is saying, B'mashikatuvba, that means since you're holding it in the hand, it certainly doesn't mean by this, but rather B'masha Katuvba, because you're already holding it in your hand. And that's coming to tell us that Chiddush, the given and Akhila B'yade, even though you only, if you're holding it in your hand, even though you only said Ba, and you didn't say B'masha Katuvba, it means Kimandi Amar B'masha Katuvba. So then, it's not that there's a separate case, that last case, that you actually said that it is both Ba B'masha Katuvba. It is that if you're holding it, it's as if you said Ba B'masha Katuvba. Okay, so we have three possibilities, each of which gives us another result. And now, what would you say about our Kapitan under such circumstances, huh? You had a hard night, Rich?
Huh? Variation.
I thought maybe you got waterlogged in the rain or something.
The captain, sometimes the ship goes down.
We're not ready for you to
pause.
Okay, so this is a little bit strange because at the end of the last parak, we had that transitional Mishnah that talked about the difference between making a neder or a shvua about an object or something that you're going to do, right? And here the Mishnah seems to be saying you can make nedarim that are essentially shavuos, which is really, I mean, it seems to be saying the opposite of what we learned before. Here are nedarim, konam. Konam can only be a neder, and you say konam shani yashen. I mean, that shouldn't work because sleep is not something that it's an object. Or konam shani medaber, or konam shani mahalech, omer leishto konam shani meshamshech. All of these things are verbs. They're things that are done. They're not. I mean, I understand that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we talk about yedako paul keata paalto. I mean, but how does that relate to a verb in a neder? That's sort of weird, right? So, the Mishnah nonetheless claims that hareze bebal yachel. Even though we said that it's not B'bal Yachel. And notice that it doesn't say Osir, like it says in all the other cases up until now. We said Osir, either Osir or Mutter, or Reza B'bal Yachel. So actually, we're going to see that what we're talking about over here is a new Din D'Rabbanan. And that is that there are cases where the Rabbanan are Gozer. This is a continuation of what we said before. We talked about the Machlokas Rishonim, about whether an Ama Oretz always needs She'ela, even where he's matfis to a Dover HaOser instead of a Dover HaNodr. So that's the first example that we have in that Mishnah. Again, it's Machlokas Rama Yad Rishonim, whether it's only in very special cases of Isha, or whether it's every case of an Ama Oretz. But there is a concept of requiring some action of Bezin for him. Now, the question over here, in cases where he uses a language of a shvua, a language of a neder in attempting something can only be done with a shvua, we're going to see that there's a standing gezeira derabbanan that you're over on a bal yachel derabbanan. We'll see what the reason is, not to simply say aser or tzarech she'ela. We're going to talk about it tomorrow's sugya. But this would be then a natural development from the idea of being machmer on somebody that we've now seen two examples of. We've seen our Mishnah, and then we've seen the equivalent Braita that had to do with somebody who says something about the Sefer Torah, the Nafka Mina for a Talmud Chochma and Am Haaretz, this Mishnah would be a standing takana on the nature of the language, not on the dover that you're using to make your neder with.